From Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. This week on the GenCast Network, Dr. Mary Lou Ingram from the Huntington Medical Research Institutes is interviewed by Gen's editor-in-chief John Sterling about innovative tissue-engineered tissue models.
Dr. Mary Lou Ingram is senior research scientist at the Huntington Medical Research Institutes in Pasadena, California. Dr. Ingram is also director of in vitro systems tissue engineering at the Institute. She's currently working on the further development of novel tissue-engineered tumor models. Dr. Ingram, let's start by talking about the benefits and drawbacks of using well-characterized cell lines as tumor models for in vitro studies. What, in general, are the pluses and minuses of conducting studies with these cell lines?
Tumor cell lines are, by definition, well-established. They're usually obtained from a very reputable source. Mostly people get them from American Type Culture Collection. They're widely studied, and so in a sense they're a kind of standard because many laboratories use them and they understand what kinds of cells they are and how they respond to various kinds of stimuli. So that's an advantage. The disadvantage is that real tumor cells in a patient are anything but standard. There's always a question about something that's based entirely on tumor cell lines, but they are widely used, and most of them have been carried along for a long time so that they're predictable in their responses.
Now, for scientists working in this area, what's the advantage to a researcher of working with tumor cells as three-dimensional structures?
Well, there's probably 40 years at least experience showing that cells in three dimensions, when they're grown in three dimensions, behave more like cells in real tissue. And that's because the cells interact with each other very actively, as they do in a tissue. They also change their genetic expressions. Their different genes are expressed when cells are in three dimensions because they are interacting. They're also influenced by their shape. The shape, the contour of a cell, the way it adapts its position and its conformation to the cells around it also can influence genetic expression in very, very important ways. So there's vast literature showing that the physiology of cells may be profoundly affected by growing in three dimensions so that they talk to other cells next to them and in contact with them.
Now, a number of these researchers use single-cell-type spheroids as tumor models. What's the problem with single-cell-type spheroids in the tumor model format?
Well, first of all, the spheroids definitely are an advantage over standard monolayer cultures, which used to be used. So there's no question that tumor spheroids containing a single-cell type are better than cells growing in monolayer. However, in a patient, the tumor is made up of many cell types. Their so-called stroma, which is the supporting tissue of the tumor, has a number of cell types. And these cells interact with the tumor cells also in very profound ways. In some cases, the stroma can really have a major influence on whether a tumor grows rapidly or slowly, whether it metastasizes, how well it survives various kinds of influences that may come to it. So the presence of other cell types in the tumor in a patient is really very, very important to the way a tumor develops. Now, in a single cell type spheroid, the other cell types are missing. And it's actually, when you think about it, testing a chemotherapeutic agent, for example, against a spheroid made up of single cell type is vastly different from giving that agent to a patient where all of the cell types see the agent. And it may be, for example, in some tumors that we're really looking at the wrong cells. Maybe in some tumors the supporting cells are so important that it would be more important to target them and let them control the growth of the cancer cells. So it's a very complex cellular interaction in a very complex cellular environment. And there's no way you can reproduce this with a single cell type.
You and your colleagues recently published a paper in Biotechnic and Histochemistry which revealed a new tissue engineering method for generating reproducibly more realistic tumor models. What's so novel and unique about the 3D tumor models that you and your team developed?
The real difference between these tumor models and the 3D spheroids of a single cell type is that we do have the ability to incorporate cells of the supporting tissue as well as the cancer cells. That, we believe, is a very important addition to the technology. We developed our own bioreactor for this, which is really a very simple one. It's basically a system in which cells can be cultured in suspension in a very, very low shear fluid environment. So the hydrodynamics doesn't influence too much what the cells do. So they're free to interact with each other, decide which cells they want to interact with, and do this spontaneously. This involves a simple modification to a tissue culture incubator so that we can have a motor that rotates, controls the rotation of the rotating culture, and special culture bags, which are made of gas exchange membrane. They're made for us by American Fluoroseal. And it's very simple. We developed a holder that exposes both faces of the culture chamber, so there's very good gas exchange. The culture chambers are deformable so that during slow rotation, and I mean slow, it's about 6 RPM, during slow rotation, the fluid shifts a little bit and there's just enough deformation of these very flexible culture chambers that it's like a gentle massage. So there's good exchange of gases and good distribution of materials within the culture chamber. So it just allows the cells to see each other, find each other, and interact sort of spontaneously. And by finding out what sequence we need to add the cells in, we can produce something that looks very much like a tissue.
Now, in addition to your new bioreactor, what other types of equipment were critical to your study, and how is this equipment used?
Well, basically, we need good standard tissue culture equipment. We start with old-fashioned monolayer cells, for example, to seed the bioreactor. And it's very similar in a way to the NASA bioreactors, which were developed at Johnson Space Center. In fact, we originally used those bioreactors and then decided that there were some problems and we'd like to change them a little bit. So that was very helpful. That got us started on rotational, low-shear rotating cultures. But otherwise, it's just standard tissue culture technology and knowing how to cope with the cell's idiosyncrasies.
I understand a flow cytometer was also used in this work. How is that used?
Very interesting. Let me go back a minute and say that these little tumors that we generate, we call them histoids because they looked almost exactly like a tumor tissue when they're sectioned and stained. These tumors that we're making are at present a few tenths of a millimeter in diameter, maybe 2/10 to 4/10 of a millimeter in diameter. And that's much too large to sort by any conventional cell sorting system. Cell sorters, the flow cytometers, the standard ones all sort maybe one cell or two cells at a time can go through. They have very small orifices, and they get clogged up if they're too big, if the particles are too big. But this one company in Massachusetts has developed a series of instruments that can cope with very large complex particles. And they were kind enough to process some histoids for us. We generated them, and they processed them. And it was very important because if we use histoids in drug tests, since these histoids are living systems, each one is slightly different from the other. Living systems can only be standardized to a certain extent. And we know that for using them in drug tests, we would probably have to select histoid particles that are in some reasonably narrow size range and have some ratio of tumor cells to supporting cells. So to do this, we were fortunate in having the company, Union Biometrica, process some of these with their COPAS instrument, and we were able to sort cells into various receptacles based on how large they are and how many tumor cells they had in them. And we did that by labeling the tumor cells with a fluorescent particle before we made the histoids. And then as the instrument sorted them, it could measure both the size of the hysteroid particle and the amount of fluorescence in it. That was very important because that means that you could make hysteroids with their normal range of variability and sort out fairly standard populations to use in testing.
Now, my final question, what are some potential applications for your new 3D tissue-engineered tumor models?
Well, we think that they can be a significant advance in drug testing because it will test cells in an environment like that which exists in the patient. Now, we're still improving it. We're adding things to it. We have just about perfected a protocol that will allow us not only to include some of the supporting fibroblasts, but also endothelial cells. So we're quite eager to see whether we can really get this perfected to the place where some of these hysteroids would have rudimentary blood vessels in them, for example. This would be an enormous advantage because you could test anti-angiogenesis drugs, which are of great interest in these, and see how they influence the development of blood vessels in a tumor. One of the things about working with standard cell lines is that they've already been carried through many, many cell divisions. They've been selected out. They've undergone some genetic changes. And they've probably been selected because the ones that survive are very closely similar. In a patient, that hasn't occurred yet. Those cells are constantly evolving a little bit and selecting out populations. And so today there's great interest in medicine in finding ways to personalize treatment. And we think there's a real possibility that one could take a biopsy specimen from a patient, for example, and isolate the stromal cells, endothelial cells, tumor cells, as primary cultures from a freshly removed tumor. It would take perhaps a month or 6 weeks, but these cells could be grown up and then make hysteroids using the patient's own cells to test drugs, and we think that would be a very powerful advance.
I'm John Sterling. Thanks for listening. If you would like to comment on this week's podcast, please go to our podcast section at www.genengnews.com and give us your thoughts. We'd really like to hear from you. Bye for now.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast or to listen to previous GenCasts, visit our website at www.genengnews.com. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghaus saying thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week to the GenCast Network.